Can.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. Yes, it's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. A short list of things. One is I started packing today because it looks like I'm moving. So I officially started packing today. And I really wasn't very effective. I had things to do this day, and I just didn't do well. But I feel I'm more consumed today than used it well. One of the things that found a link to, because I got a link to a video that was on this Children's Health Defense Organization, which I talked with Chris about that today, because I do feel, I talked with him in the morning. He took a hike this morning. We talked a bit, and, you know, including a lot of wonderful stuff, and, well, like Matthew 25 was a good dialogue. But when I look at that organization, I feel an organization that is there for its to be a powerful organization. I'm skeptical of the effectiveness of what they do. You know, this is the, because I think it's a stand by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I think it's a tool, but, you know, well-funded and so forth and highly marketed. When I look at the website, it's the marketing techniques that get to me. But anyway, what one of the things they're doing is they have a bus driving around in reference to being kids and so forth being vaxxed. And obviously it brings to mind the vaxxed video bus from 2019. So I have a, because again, the original vaxxed, these were people within the medical community. They said, well, there's a problem here. Here's the evidence. The guy in the UK, what's his name? I think really spearheaded this, and he got, the news media, whatnot, just jumped all over him. But he did, I think he lost his position in the medical community and so forth. But he did get a lot of traction with a lot of people. They did this vax video, and then they did vax 2, which they went around the country with this RV, had it painted with the logo on it black, with a big logo. And then they had people in a white pen sign their name who were impacted by the vaccine. And I just saw, because I think it's like 4,000 names they have on that bus. And some of those people are dead, including the one gentleman, one young guy, who said, I'm too much of a burden, and he committed suicide. It was a big deal, so I asked a long time ago, should George's name be in that bus? I've never gotten an answer. Are you shocked? It concerns me greatly. George is my son. So I'm reminding you, should George's name be on the bus? From June 3rd of 2020. The voicemail. And that time, audio, but anyway. So leave you that. I also, David Tulis, apparently to his joy, because, I read his article. I'm on his email list. The article came and included a link to a video. I actually downloaded the video, it was fascinating to me because, when I read the article, and he said like twice how excited he is because he got pulled over for apparently a broken taillight and interacted with the police officer, recorded everything on video and so forth, did the kind of thing, only lowered the window a bit, refused to give a driver's license and so forth because, you know, ended up getting arrested, which I have no doubt in his mind, in his heart, getting arrested, he was jumping up and down with glee. But the thing that I really, really appreciated, so I wrote a comment on there, and I'm curious because, he did not post the comment, you know, because he moderates them, so it's not there, which is unfortunate. But so, you know, I wrote a comment. You showed great composure in the video, which I applaud. Your excitement over now having standing is understood. What strikes fear in the mind and heart is how could they not notice that the less than subtle blue bow tie? Do they not understand its significance? Because he said they took his gun because he's carrying a gun. And he did announce it. He did a very good job of that. And then he made, you know, a silly comment that, you know, that they didn't take the more powerful tool that had, you know, his bow tie, because that's, you know, his reputation thing. But I go on. I know a number of individuals, young and old, male and female, who carry a pistol as their norm. It brings more confidence to me compared to seeing someone in uniform doing so without any disrespect to those in uniform. Thank you for setting a model of composure and caring. Because one of the things that I've seen, because I know a lot of people, sometimes it's found out because of discussion, sometimes because it's obvious and so forth. Again, young and old. And I really appreciate it when I see somebody, especially like in their 20s, who are carrying a pistol. It's not the ooh-ah thing, but there is a level of maturity, I think, that demonstrates. Because, you know, the crook, whether he's young or old, is not going to have any maturity, and laws don't mean anything anyway. But someone who is saying, okay, I'm within the law, and I'm carrying because it's my right, those kind of people I really appreciate. I've grown to have a real appreciation for them. You know, and there used to be time that, you know, I had my motto, speak softly and carry a Glock, because I did. But anyway, so, and obviously David Tulis is not young, younger than me, but still not young. And the demeanor he showed, I was really appreciative of. So I did try to make that encouragement, which obviously didn't go anywhere. One other thing, I'm leaving you, Citizen 4, the video I talked about, from 2014 and whatnot. So it's almost a decade old. This is the documentary of when Edward Snowden went public. So it's now on my site. I figured, okay, I'm going to have it. It's not the one the article points to. You know, I give you a BitChute link. But so I have it on the site. So it's there. Because one of the things I did is I mentioned a gentleman who years ago started the company Lavabit, and it's mentioned in the an effort toward reconciliation article that I linked to the email, because, you know, he's the one who I was told, I think it was the FBI, who said, you must give us the keys so we can look at this email, and he complied. You know, and again, I appreciate his inventiveness. He, instead of handing them like a USB drive or some of that nature, or a floppy disk back then or whatever. Now, it wouldn't have been floppy disk. But anyway, instead of handing them something like that, he printed it out. You know, a key, which was a couple hundred characters long and whatnot, all sorts of random things and whatnot. So it's not something you want to casually enter. You might want to scan it or something so you have, you know, the optical character recognition type stuff in order to input this, because that would be some effort to do it and get it right. Because, you know, it's one thing to type in words because you know the words. Another thing to a random set of characters, that it's easy to get lost. So, but he did it in a small font and a decorative font. And I thought that was, I appreciated that because he complied, but he didn't make him easy, didn't make it easy on them to use the data. So I appreciate that technique. Then he went to his servers, erased everything, and put himself out of business. That takes conviction. And I just simply, you know, the lavabit.com, they attempted to restart. It appears they haven't because the website is, you know, old now, doesn't seem to be updated. But I did send them an email with the assumption it's going off into never land. But simply to say, you have my respect. You know, it's been years. But years later, and that's why, that's the image I'm using today. That's him. And, you know, again, he has my respect. If you look at the article, when the second paragraph on Citizen 4, Ladar Levison. And again, I point out the whole technique behind the Shofar Nexus technique for email is to provide basically that same service, except I don't have a key. Somebody comes to me, I have nothing to offer. That's the point. And I really, it's going to be really short. I really think, you know, because I also found a little bit more stuff. Oh, okay, one more thing. I spent a little time reading today. A printed book, the Herzl yearbook. I read several articles in it. And, you know, one of the things I saw, which... I don't know if I can find it just by, because, you know, there's some, this is one of these books where there's some pages that are, nicer paper because they have photos on it. Here it is. Excellent. But a particular, page, it shows images of three postcards. One was from 1954, the third one, 1954, which had, Herzl in the stamp. But the thing I found fascinating is the one from 1949. This one here. So, again, Israel was formed in 48, so this comes out a year later, 1949. So, you know, the picture of Herzl and what we know today as the Israeli flag. And what they point out is, which I think is an important thing to remember. We look at it today as a flag of the country of Israel. Flag of Zionist movement adopted by the first Zionist Congress, Basel, Switzerland, August 1897. 50 years before the founding of the country of Israel, became national flag of the state of Israel by unanimous vote by the Provisional State Council in October 28, 1948. So about 50 years later. Let me read that. First day cover, portrait of Dr. Herzl. Inscription is excerpt from diary entry, September 3, 1897, and this is Herzl's writing. If I were to sum up the Basel Conference, which I would not dare to make public, I would say, in Basel, I created The Jewish State, 1897. Were I to say this aloud, I would be greeted with universal laughter. But perhaps in 5 years hence, certainly 50 years hence, everyone will perceive it. 51 years, he got close. So, you know, you think, oh, this is, and of course, again, it says right there in the beginning, this is a political movement. There's nothing about theology here. It's a political movement. And so, you know, I really think that's an important picture, and it's an important thing to keep in mind. The flag of the country of Israel is the flag of the Zionist movement. It's not Jewish per se. It's Zionism. That's why you'll hear people call the country of Israel the Zionist entity. Because it is meant in a way as slander, but it's accurate. It is something I do think to keep in mind, and it's nice to have a document where it's not conjecture. You know, here's the evidence, but I see there's a whole lot of things happening. Now, the tension level is getting ridiculous. And again, to be anti-Semitic, meaning that you are, if that means you have, look on the Semitic people with disfavor, that includes the descendants of Abraham, which includes the Arabs, as in the Palestinians, as in the Jordanians, as in those in Saudi Arabia. Those are Semites. And what they've done is twisted the word. And when you see the flag of Judaism, of the country of Israel, it's a Zionist movement. And the other thing I find fascinating, again, where did that Congress happen? Basel, Switzerland. Where's the Bank of International Settlements? Basel, Switzerland. Is there a connection here? Here goes a helicopter. I would contend, yes, there is. I think it's blatant. Because the Bank of International Settlements probably has a lot more ties to the particular community than others. But anyway. Lord willing, Chris and I will hike tomorrow. Lord willing, somebody will respond to me. Now, obviously, I didn't expect anything today, but somebody will respond to me in reference to the email I sent out yesterday. Tomorrow or this weekend. It was a significant effort on my part. And I may have an opportunity to restart Shofar Leaks. There are at least two things on the table. I can't give up. And I still wonder, should George's name be in the bus? My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.